You love the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's no other name given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus. Praise God. I watched a documentary. It was very hard to watch. But I watched a documentary produced by HBO of the invasion of the mall down in Africa a short time ago when I think over 60 people were killed, and they actually had the camera footage of the people doing the carnage and just killing unarmed people, some begging for mercy, some trying to shield their children and couldn't. And one lady in particular was asked by a witness who did survive that, who was hiding behind something as it happened. And they came to her and they asked her, "Are you a Christian or are you Muslim?" And these are the extremists now. I want you to understand that. But it was taking that doctrine to an extreme where they felt like killing someone in the name of Allah was doing God a service. And Christians in particular were singled out. And the lady, knowing this man with an AK-47, had the power at that moment without God's intervention to take her life or let her live. And she knew the answer he wanted to hear. But she gave the answer that cost her life. She said, "I'm a Christian." And of course he shot her and killed her dead at that moment. Now a lot of people don't understand that kind of devotion, particularly in this postmodern church world in America. The lack of real persecution, I'm not talking about somebody calling you Holy Roller, Holy Joe on the job. Listen, the Bible said if they cast your name out as evil for my sake, you should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Christ's message to the church in the book of Revelation, I think it's Thyatira, his message to them, he said, Satan is going to persecute you. He's going to do it through people. There's a time limit on it. He's going to do it for 10 days. Some of you are going to be put into prison. He said, others of you, and if you find that, you can give chapter and verse and I'll give it. It's just where the Lord's leading me today. Some of you shall be put into prison. The message today that is drawing throngs in the what used to be the holiness Pentecostal movement has went into the charismatic movement, and now beyond the charismatic movement, there is a materialistic message that is being brought to the church, and we're not prepared for persecution. The heart is not devoted enough to stand for Jesus no matter what. We call it seeker friendly. It means there are churches that, well, we have a cross here, and if we could, we'd put a big cross outside. We're not ashamed of the cross. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And he talked about the cross in the sense that it was that barrier between him and the world system. Amen. He said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, to us who are saved, it is the power of God." But make no mistake about it. Because the cross is the centerpiece of the gospel and the place where Jesus bought our salvation. It came at great cost. It came at great cost. It came at great cost. The Bible said we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. The word redeemed literally means to pay a ransom. To pay a ransom price for someone to go free. To pay a price, a ransom in particular. And the price wasn't paid with silver or gold after the tradition of your fathers, he said. In other words, without an understanding and appreciation of the cross, everything has a price tag on it. That's the way the world system operates. You do not get something for nothing. Years ago when I was a child, way back just after the Civil War, it was after the Civil War. See, people People actually believe I lived that long, when I haven't. I'm not that old yet. But when I was a child and we came back to Florida from where we had been in Kentucky, where I was born, when we got back into Florida, we crossed that Florida-Georgia line. They used to have a place where they had orange juice, fresh, squeezed orange juice, because all the tourists couldn't wait to get from up north and taste that fresh, squeezed orange juice from Florida. And back then, I'll show you how long ago that was. I date myself. Back then, it was all the orange juice you can drink for 10 cents. All you can drink for 10 cents. I wanted so bad. I wanted to stop everywhere. I wanted to stop and see the snakes. There were little booths beside the road where they had rattlesnakes. I wanted to see the snakes. On the way back into Florida, they had alligators. I wanted to see the alligators. We just kept going. I didn't get to see nothing but the floorboard of the car sitting in the back seat. Man, we just kept on going. All kinds of little things for touristy things. And one guy told us that a friend of his wanted to go in, and they stopped coming from Kentucky. He went in, all the orange juice you can drink. He paid his money for a dime, and he paid a dime. They give him a fresh glass of orange juice, about 10 ounces. He drank it down, set it back up, and said, "I'd like some more." And he said, "Well, that's it. That's it. That's all. And he said, "But it's sign out there said all you can drink for a dime." Guy behind the counter said, "That is all you can drink for a dime." So in other words, it wasn't a lie in that sense. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I've told you about in the back of a magazine, the Postmaster General talked about an ad in the back of a magazine, "Surefire Bug Killer," warning people to watch out for stuff that sounds too good to be true. It didn't cost much. You know, $19.95, money back guarantee. If it doesn't work, you can't go wrong. For $20, you can get rid of all the ants, cockroaches, or anything else, spiders in your house. Surefire bug killer. And the Postmaster General is warning the same thing. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So people would send out for this thing, and they would get a little box in the mail, open that little box in a brown wrapper, and there was two plain blocks, like, remember the ABC blocks? And on one was A, marked on with a Marks-a-Lot, and the other was B, marked with a Marks-a-Lot. Very simple. And a little paper that was supposed to be the instructions of how to use it. And you know what it said on the paper? "Take bug, place on block B, and crush with block A." How many know they couldn't sue them for not being a surefire bug killer? Amen. But the Postmaster General said, "Be careful. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is." Now, to get it into more of sophisticated things, some people started paying interest. They had investment companies that took risk with people's money, and a lot of people lost everything. My aunt invested $50,000. She was my rich aunt. Never saw a penny of it, but I had one of those. My auntie had money. She sued a lot of people she worked for. She got a lot of money. Didn't do her any good. She lived like a pauper. But anyway, she invested because they had convinced her, "You're only drawing so much sitting in the bank, and if you put your money here, we invested in all of these things," and very convincing. And she pulled $50,000 out, and because it sounded really, really good, it's going to pay big dividends. And they invested that money, and within 18 months, that company went completely bankrupt. They had made bad investments, and she lost $50,000. And there was no asset. She didn't get $1 back on the $50,000 she invested. And they were preying on people that, see, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Amen. That's why when the gospel began to be preached, Everything had a price to it. And they knew it. They knew it. And here comes these apostles. And he said, you were not ransomed. The price for your salvation didn't come through silver or gold, but the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You were not redeemed by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The precious blood. Today we have a religious economy out there that started in embedded in Pentecost and has evolved into a materialistic, polluted message, perverted message. Amen. I've been in services myself where people have said there is a special blessing on everyone that gives $50. There's a special blessing on people that give $100. I go to the Word of God and I find out that blessings can't be bought with silver and gold. I do find that God blesses generosity, and when I give, given it shall be given unto you. But not the things that were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Freely you've received. Anybody that is saved, anybody that is preaching, anybody that is teaching that is a Christian, when they came to God and their sins were forgiven, there was no transaction of the material or the monetary. The transaction was singular. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was precious beyond price. You can never equate it to any amount of money or material possession. Can you say, man? It is beyond rubies. It's beyond gold. It is beyond silver. And it is because we are saved because of that kind of love and that kind of grace and mercy. It is to provoke us to love Him with everything we are and everything that we have. It is to captivate our heart and then finally to capture our heart. Can you say amen? Until we become totally devoted to Jesus Christ and we want to be His disciple, and we're willing to begin that process by denying ourselves in the sense that we would rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Brother Taylor sings that song. How many has heard Brother Taylor sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold? I'd rather be His than own riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land, just to know that I'm held in His nail-pierced hands, than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Can you say, man? Today we are trying to woo people, woo them. Seeker friendly means find out a way to get people that are seeking fulfillment, seeking help from God in their life. But don't mention sin and repentance. That will cause them to go away. We want to get them in. Don't mention sin and repentance. Don't mention eternal banishment or eternal punishment. Don't talk about where the lost are going to spend eternity. That won't motivate them. They don't want to hear that. They want an easy believism. Actually, they want a crossless gospel where they get all the benefits of Christ's cross, but they bear no responsibility to follow Him or serve Him. So when He says deny yourself, it's abhorrent to those people coming for that wrong reason. No wonder we have a mega church deal going on today, made up of people that are following Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Who, if push comes to shove, are not devoted enough. And I tell people this all the time. Thank God you're in America. Thank God you are not put in the position of forfeiting your life to follow Jesus Christ or identify with Him. But listen very carefully. If they can and are dying for Him in other countries today, as we speak today, Christians around the world are being persecuted like never before. If they are willing to die for Him, don't you think we here in America ought to be willing to at least live for Him? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Jesus said His kingdom is worth it. Your salvation is worth it. Your Savior is worth it. So his message to the church, and did you ever find that yet? Revelation 2:10 in the church of Smyrna. That's it. Revelation 2:10. Would you read that, please? Beginning.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that you may have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life.
What is his message to them? What is his message to them? What is his message unto them? He said, you're in a situation where some of you are going to be put in prison, and some of you are going to be put to death. Isn't that amazing? And he says, don't fear any of those things that thou shalt suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you something that's worth more than 30 more years of life here, 30 more minutes of life here. I'll give you a crown of life. It's the most coveted of all the crowns that are offered in the Bible, because it represents the eternal life, the everlasting life that is granted us through the blood of Jesus and forgiveness. Amen. This life, at its best, is but a vapor, the Bible said. It appeareth for a little while, and then it's over and it's done. Brother Taylor, the scripture said, the funeral I attended yesterday, the lady was just a little bit older than me. Isn't that incredible that I'm in that stage and place in life that if I croaked tomorrow, everybody say croaked tomorrow. You heard about the grandpa, didn't you? His kids come to visit him. You haven't heard about grandpa and his kids come to visit him? Good. They've all heard it. Now I can tell it to you. Kids from the city come to visit their grandpa in the country, because he has ponies along with a farm, and they love to go to the farm and ride the ponies. And there's a little girl that is 5 years old, and a little boy that is 7 years old. His grandchildren visited him during the summer, and they're walking around getting ready to go take a pony ride. and they live in the city. And the little boy looks up at his grandpa and says, Grandpa, can you make a noise like a frog? And he said, well, yes, I suppose I can. Why? He said, because Daddy says when you croak, we can have a pony. Amen. In this materialistic age that we're living in, when one of the greatest threats to Holy Ghost revival in America is materialism, and you and I need, how many need a house to live in? I'm not that spiritual. I need a house. Amen. I need a home to live in. I need a car to drive. I need an income, and you do too. And God knows what you have need of, and he cares about those things. But that's not top shelf. That's not what is on the top shelf. And what is drawing many people supposedly to Christ, which is really not to Christ, it's just blessings that they are after. They come because God, they have a problem. People are promising them. Amen. Number one, don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about sin and repentance. Just come and get. Don't worry about giving anything to God. Oh, yeah, you do give, but it's always silver and gold, not your heart and your life. There's always a cost for blessing. Saw a guy on television not too long ago, and he had a blessed wallet. He had a blessed wallet. See, now we got big TVs and high-definition television. So I was able to see what was in the wallet, because it was full of money. Problem is, it wasn't 100s. It was ones. He had about 50 ones in there. Well, it looks like you got a lot, but how many know 50 bucks don't go very far anymore? But he had a blessed wallet you could write for. And if you write in for this blessed wallet and you send so much money, because there's always a silver and gold aspect to the blessing. And there is in Malachi in terms of the material part of that blessing. in an agricultural community, he was going to open the windows of heaven. He was going to send those beautiful rains upon their crops, and they were going to have bumper crops because they had, in devotion to God, given materially. There's a blessing on the material gift. But when you start attaching money to that was bought by the blood of Jesus at the cross, we have crossed a line. And I can't tell others how to preach. They wouldn't listen to me anyway, because who are you? Well, I'm just a child of the Most High God that reads the Bible, that believes the Bible. Hallelujah. And I would rather have my son healed when we were in the emergency room. My son healed. I didn't have to buy it. You know why? It's with his stripes. With his stripes, with his stripes, with his suffering, with his sacrifice, that healing was provided. And I was so glad. Oh, if I was the richest man in the world materially, and I wasn't serving a prayer answering God that would be faithful when I called upon Him, if I didn't have Him first in my life, and I was depending on Blue Cross and Blue Shield, instead of the shield of faith, my son would have died in the hospital. But God healed him. He raised him up. And when they took him back and looked for what was wrong, they couldn't find a thing wrong with him. I heard people crying out for help in that emergency room. It was so wonderful when the peace of God came into that room. When I knew God had it and God was in control and God was going to answer prayer. Amen. I'd rather have my son raised up from something that could have killed him, amen, than to have all of the riches of this world. Can you say amen? I'm not even talking about heaven now. I'm just talking about having him to help you in this fallen world. The idea is today that it's being promoted is that if you have a need, in order for God to even care about that need or address that need, you've got to sow a seed. Part of that is true. He that soweth liberally shall reap liberally. Sowing and reaping is a law of God. Until it comes to what He purchased at the cross, you can only sow faith in His finished work to obtain what He has bought and paid for. Amen. For you were not redeemed. You were not ransomed. No amount of money and riches in all the world could purchase one drop of that blood that was shed at that cross. And everything that He bought and brought through His blood sacrifice, He gave it as a gift to you and to me. Freely you have received. He said, freely give. Can you say amen? And that's why when the man sat at Gate Beautiful, the first miracle that was wrought, amen, the apostles knew Jesus has paid for this man's salvation. Jesus has paid for this man's healing. Amen. They didn't have any silver or gold. You'd think they'd been talking of asking the man for something. Amen. He sat there begging. And he was begging from benevolent people going into the temple in the book of Acts. Amen. And Peter and John came walking by. And I don't know if they'd just given it all away or they just broke. How many's ever been broke before? Amen. Financially. Amen. Told you about a guy I worked with, had a 5-year-old grandson. The husband had run out on him and she was working at Wally World. That's Walmart for you that haven't. Don't understand our colloquialisms. Amen. She was working at Walmart, and you don't make a whole lot of money. A single parent working at Walmart has some real issues making ends meet. Little boy had a tooth somehow or another that given him trouble. His first trip to the dentist, he's sitting there. His grandpa said, I went in with him. Mama went in with him. The dentist come out going to console the little fella and said, how are you today? And by the way, the lady just lost her job at Walmart on top of everything else. He's sitting there. He said, son, how are you today? He said, my daddy left us. My mama lost her job. And we're flat broke. Kids are pretty honest, aren't they? So whatever the reason, Peter and John were flat broke. Because they walked by this guy and he had a cup out there in the book of Acts. He's got a cup out there and he's begging for somebody to put something in his cup. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none. But I'm not really broke. I have spiritual capital." Oh, you didn't hear me. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have spiritual capital with God than all the money that man can give me. Don't give me a full meal barrel that can get bugs in it. Don't give me a full meal barrel that can go empty. Give me spiritual capital with God. Give me a meal barrel that every time, that though it's only got enough for one more cup out of it, that through a 3-year famine, you can't empty it. Give me some spiritual capital with God. When I've got a child that could have died and maybe would have died, and God answers prayer and raises my child up, don't talk to me anymore about silver and gold. Tell me about spiritual capital with God. Can you say amen? That's where I'm coming from. I'd rather take my child home well and God's name be glorified, hallelujah, than to own a Mercedes and a house on a hill and money in the bank. Hallelujah. Give me some spiritual capital with God. So they go in the gate beautiful and they're headed for church. And here sits this man begging that's lame from his mother's womb and never had walked. And they said, if you're looking for something material from us or God, we don't have any silver and gold personally. And we can't promise you that from God initially. But we do have something that's more valuable. Something that can't be bought with silver and gold. We have spiritual capital with God. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, I've seen the rich preachers that can tell you supposedly how to get what they've got. But I don't see capital with God. I don't see the lame walk. I don't see the blind see. I don't see the demons cast out. Can you say amen? I don't see the power of God to heal and to help the suffering and the hurting. Can you say amen? I don't see the compassion that says, listen, I didn't come to take from you. I came to invest in you. Such as I have, I want to give you. In the name of who? In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He bought it. He paid for it. He purchased it. He provided it through his suffering at the cross. You are not redeemed with something as corruptible as what this. Listen, there's nothing wrong with silver and gold. We all need it down here. And God cares about that. And he said, if you will put my kingdom first. If you'll put my kingdom first, if you'll get a spiritual value system and value me above anything this world can offer you, I'll take care. I know the Father knows what you need. Hallelujah. He said, I'll meet all of those needs. Just because the kingdom is first. Just because God is first. Just because there's a devotion to Christ. Just because your value system doesn't reflect the same value system of a lost and dying, blinded world. But it represents a different king and a different kingdom. Can you say, man? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin. Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of these. If your Father so clothed the lilies of the field, shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look at the ravens and the birds of the air. God feeds them. They don't worry where their next meal is coming from. If your Father feeds them, he's going to feed you. Can you say amen? But he's going to do it when you put him first. Not because you put him last, because you're trying to do this yourself. You don't have to compromise for to have your needs met. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to become materialistic for God to bless you. In fact, it's putting the kingdom first that allows him to trust you with material blessings. Jesus literally said, if you can't be faithful over the earthly mammon, the material things that is offered you, what is the first thing that Satan did when he wanted to tempt Jesus in the wilderness? He took him to a high place before he told him to jump off. He told him, look at the kingdoms of this whole world. Look at the kingdoms of this world. It's in my power to give you all of this riches and all of this wealth. Today we're trying to blend that promise with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we not? When you have to send $100 to get a loved one saved, you're trying to pay for what Jesus paid for at the cross. You want your loved one saved? Fall on your knees and intercede for them and plead and plead and plead and plead the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for their salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said, plead the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for their salvation. Glory to God. Plead the blood. Hallelujah. It's the blood that was shed for them that God honors. It's the name of Jesus that God recognizes and responds to. Hallelujah. You can't buy, amen, salvation for a loved one like they used to do in certain church realms. You had to pay a priest to pray somebody out of purgatory into heaven. Don't you love them enough to pay the money to get them out of there? You were not redeemed with something as corruptible as silver and gold. Not only will it pass away, but it can corrupt you if you let it. You were redeemed by something greater than silver or gold, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you can't buy it at any price. But you can live a life of thanksgiving for the unspeakable gift and the unsearchable riches that you possess in Him. The Bible calls the gift unspeakable. It's not in the verbiage of man. It's not in our ability to describe the worth of it. Escaping hell's torments and enjoying forever heaven's blessings. There's no price tag in all of the world that can be put upon that blessing. Can you say, man, we shouldn't be easily swayed by the world about us. We're in a day that Christians ought to be traveling light. I try to get out of everything I can get out of except serving God. Some things I have to do. We had a faucet to put in the other day, and I'd been putting it off, and I was going in the bathroom where the faucet was supposed to go, bought and paid for faucet, and I just hadn't taken time to put it in, and right in front of the door of the bathroom was a box with the faucet in it. I almost tripped over the faucet, and I thought, Pamela's trying to give me a hint. Pamela's trying to give me a hint. She wants that faucet installed sometime with this coming year. Can you say, man? I told her the last day of 2014 I'd do it next year. She took me serious. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, what has happened to the Jesus that held that kind of value? To the salvation that brought that kind of devotion to God. Well, it didn't happen. What has happened in America, where you've got to promise people pie in the sky to get them in God's house, where the cross no longer draws them. That's why there are churches that 30,000 people attend on Sunday, and you'll look around that church and you will not find one cross. They don't want to offend anyone. Oh, Paul said of the cross, he said, I thank God. He said, if I'm going to glory, which means to boast, I will boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. because it separates me. My devotion to Jesus who died for me separates me. It segregates me. Can you say, man, it sanctifies me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby I am crucified to this world. I'm dead to this world, and this world is just as dead to me. Can you say, man? Can you read it? I don't have glasses on. Psalm 37. I was young and now I'm old. Don't get me wrong. Good, I'm glad you brought that up. I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seek the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And what's going to happen to your material needs? All this is going to be added to you. You don't have to quit following Jesus, quit serving God, quit honoring God, because you're so busy in so many things in your life for Him to meet your need. Can you say, man? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. David said, I was young and I was old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed out begging bread. Can you say, man? I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Amen. I ain't too proud to beg. If my family's hungry, I'll beg. I'll come to you, Brother Taylor, and say, do you have anything left over that I could give my family? I will beg, amen, for my family. I'll beg for me if I need a meal. Listen, I ain't too proud to beg. I don't have to beg because I'm seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Can you say, man? Ain't had to beg. Well, I left home at 14. I mean, at 16, tried to leave at 14, didn't have nowhere to go. Amen. I left at 16. I never went back. I never spent a night at my mama's. I never spent a night at my daddy's. It was hard on us. Amen. I don't know how we made it. In fact, we were just about to not make it. We had some lean times till we came to Jesus. We came to Jesus. We got in a good Bible teaching church. Amen. We began to serve God and put Him first. We began to give to God, and we didn't have money enough to meet our budget. We sat down about 6 weeks or 8 weeks into our newfound life in Jesus, and we said, let's try to figure out on paper how this is working. We're giving to God. We're making it. How are we making it? Because every penny was accounted for, and we could have used a lot more. How are we making it? And then we looked at each other and said, I don't want to know. I don't want to do the math. Let's just keep on being faithful. I don't know what God's doing to help us. I can't do it on paper. But somehow or another, we're able to put the kingdom first, honor the king, serve God, and pay our bill. I don't know. You say, Brother Vimble, did he put money? I don't know what he did. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to try to intellectually figure it out. All I know is now we're serving God, honoring Him. We're right with Him, and we're still making it. And the devil said, if you do this, you can't make it. If you do that, you can't make it. Oh, yes, we can. Because I was young, but now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. I'm telling you, if you got problems in the material world, you got spiritual capital, if you'll put God first, God will see to that other stuff. Silver and gold have I none. But they had spiritual capital with God. Due to that story, this is not an attack on Roman Catholicism, but this happened among, and listen, I'm on to the Protestant church today. I'm on to the abuse of money as capital instead of spiritual capital with God. Going to church to get rich is the wrong reason to go. Christ's message to Pergamos, what was his message? Be thou faithful unto death. Some of you will die for your faith. In your position, in your condition, everybody say, thank God for America. Thank God for America. But those people were told, some of you will forfeit your life. And his message to those, be faithful even unto the death. And Christ shall give you a crown of life. And that's why the Christian lady in that mall that was asked, are you Christian? And she said yes. She knew when she said yes, that would be the last thing she said on this earth. But she said it. At Columbine High School, the same thing happened. A teenage girl, 16 years old, junior, at Columbine High School, when they went in shooting it up, he asked a young lady, are you a Christian? And this was nothing to do with jihad, nothing to do with Muslims, just a hatred for anything concerning you. Listen, the devil hates God. He hates God's children. But God loves you, and that trumps. That trumps. That trumps it all. Does it mean you will never suffer? No, it guarantees that it's going to cost you something to follow Christ. And you have to decide, is he worth it? Is eternal life worth it? Is salvation worth it? Is his shed blood and suffering worth it? You say, Brother Venable, will I have to give up my flaky friends if I follow Jesus? No. Just follow Jesus and they'll give you up. Can you say amen? Guaranteed. They'll either get saved or give you up. And if they give you up, they ain't your friends. Your friends don't quit one another because you have a faith in God. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. The young lady was asked, do you believe in God? She said, yes. It's the last word she said this side of eternity. She didn't hesitate. She didn't hedge herself by being wishy-washy. She was clear. She was plain. You put me, push come to shove, no matter what it is, I will not break my allegiance to Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian in name only. I'm his purchased possession. The Bible calls every Christian his purchased possession. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit, marks you as belonging to him, because he purchased you with his blood. He purchased you with his blood. He paid the ransom. That's got to be worth something to you. It's got to be worth more than your allegiance to your friends. Your friends are worth more than his suffering and the offer of salvation. It's what astounded Jesus about man's messed up, blind, misguided value system. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to sell your soul for? Listen to me carefully. Jesus said, if you're on the fence, you can't stay there. You can't serve two masters. For you will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't do it. You can't do it. That's why the prerequisite for following Jesus is not joining the church, being baptized in water. It's not giving to missions. It's denying yourself. Amen. Oh, by the way, when people hear self-denial, they think of a deficit. They think they're going to do without something. When you commit to Christ, you make room for God to fill that area that you have pushed aside, all those other people and things, in order to follow him. He fills it with his grace. He fills it with his love. He fills it with his peace. He fills it with his person. He fills it with his power. And in his presence is what the whole world is looking for and can't find. Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. What did you two say? The kind of modern day prophetic band of the world system. What do they say? What does Bono say? I've been here, I've been there, I've been here, I've done that. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And if you want to go beyond that back into my day, and maybe you're still, you know, you're not old enough. Yeah, you are. You remember the Rolling Stones? Not a little bit. Papa was a Rolling Stone. No, it's not that one either. It's the ones from England. This home. It ain't that Rolling Stone. But what was their big hit that brought them from England to America? I can't get no satisfaction. Why do you think people are toking up, drinking up, and shooting up? Why do you think they're doing that? Why do they have to have it? Why would they rather have it than their family? Why would they rather have it than to keep a good job? Why would they rather have it than to keep their freedom and stay out of jail? Why do they have to have it? Because they still haven't found what they're looking for. Can you say amen? And the church is supposed to have what they're looking for. When they see you and they see me, they should see somebody that don't need to toke up, smoke up, drink up, or shoot up. Can you say amen? My idea of a party is when the Holy Ghost comes down in this place and we begin to worship God. And when that happens, I want a party hardy. Can you say amen? You're just going looking to this world to give you what is not out there to give. That's why Robin Williams took his life with all his talent and ability. I know he had Parkinson's, but so does the other guy. And he's going on with his life and has a sitcom. Because, listen, until God can fill that hole in the heart, nothing in this world can ever fill it. That's why I'm crucified to this world. I figured that out a long time ago. I will not give up the place Christ has in my life for anything this world can offer me. Have you figured out yet that it can't fulfill you, that it can't satisfy you, that it can't give you protection or peace of mind? But have you found in God's kingdom there's righteousness, there is peace, and there's joy in the Holy Ghost? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't have any silver. We don't have any gold. But such as we have, we give you. We have spiritual capital with God. And taking him by the hand and lifting him up, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this man beat them into the temple, ran into the building, running, leaping, and praising God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our program that's so well planned would be interrupted by somebody that God had set free and worked a miracle for? It'd be great if God just showed up. Amen. We watch the choir. We listen to the 3-point outline by the preacher. We watch the clock, which I haven't been doing, but I'm through apologizing. We need a revival. Nothing short of a revival. Can you say, man, in your family you need God to move. You want your kids saved, my kids saved. It's going to take a move of God, and we've got spiritual capital. Can you say, man, hallelujah. We have favor with God. Have movement. We have faith in God. I can't buy it, but I can believe it. Can you say, man, and I can believe him for it. A high-ranking cardinal was standing on steps, turn of the century of the richest church in the world. At that time was St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. A man, because of the Reformation, who had come to know Christ as his Savior, was questioning all of the religious routines and rituals without any manifest presence of God. And they were bringing in the gold and silver offerings that made it the richest church in the world. And this high-ranking cardinal said, the time has long passed when we have to say, silver and gold have we none. And this man that had come out through the Reformation, come directly to Christ, bypassing the clergy and without paying, received the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness through the blood of Jesus. He said, that's true. And the time is also long past when we can say, such as I have, give I thee. When the church has the riches of the world and don't have any spiritual capital, she's powerless. Can you say amen? And cannot in any way represent this kingdom of God and this kingdom of heaven. We represent the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of man. All you can see is the riches of the preacher, the wealth of the church. Can you say amen? And to the wealthiest church in Asia that assumed that wealth was evidence of God's blessing that had no spiritual capital. Laodicea, the seventh. Oh, by the way, must have been Pergamos since it was on my mind. He said, I know your poverty. You know why they were impoverished? Because they, as Christians, lived in a city of guilds. Trade unions. You belong to the union or you don't get work. And Christians were being persecuted by banning them from joining the guild. But they would not consent. They would not compromise. And they were under duress materially. And he said, I know your poverty, but you're rich. You're rich. If you're a Christian, don't ever complain. Praise Him for salvation. If you need a car, you'll get one. If you need a house, He'll make a way. If you need shoes, they will come. I know, when I first got saved, I started serving God. God gave me another job, because they kicked me off the one I had because I wanted to be in church on Sunday, was willing to take a pay cut to do it. Amen. So they invited me. As long as you're here, I remember when they came and said it. And I didn't do it in a mean way, but I felt such boldness in the Lord after I came to Jesus and got in that other kingdom and was serving another king. I said, I'll take a pay cut if I can have that job that'll pay me less so I can be in church with my family on Sunday. And I remember what my boss told me, because I had already run it by the big boss. And he said, the man, that's what we called the big boss then, the man. He said, the man said, as long as you work here, boy, I could hear the devil just right in it. As long as you work here, you're going to do what we tell you to do. I thought, wait a minute, I got another master, and it ain't you. And it ain't the devil, and it ain't the man. Can you say, man, it's Jesus Christ. I got another master. I'm not a slave to you. I'm not a slave to this job. I am a servant. I am a slave. I'm a bond slave. I owe Him big time. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I've been job scared my whole life till that day. Hey, man, something rose up in him to talk to me that way, and something rose up in me to talk back. And I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do, what I could do, because I had 5 years invested of my life, and I was a guy that trained others. And I looked him in the eye, and I felt the Holy Ghost rise up inside of me. And I said, listen, this is, in that case, this is my last day. This is it. That's why I'm in the ministry today. Because I put Him first, and He's still first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And Brother Taylor, I am not a rich man by the material. But I got a house, and I got a roof. And I went to work for Tampa. I got a clothes. I'm way overdue. But I just don't care anymore. If you've got a problem with it, there's churches that would have had you out in the restaurant 45 minutes ago and been glad to see you go so they can get home and watch whatever sports game is on today. But I'm talking about spiritual capital. I'm talking about being in an emergency room and getting a prayer answered. I'm not talking about comfort or convenience. And I'm talking about a Christ that's worth your time and my time. Can you say amen? And guess what I heard? Guess what a little bird told me about Sunday? Guess what a little bird told me? A little bird told me it's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day, and we want to hurry up and get it over with so we can do our thing. You'd be amazed how many people have that attitude. You need to get that thing worked on. You need to let God fix it for you. Can you say amen? But Brother Venable, I want to get to the movie before the big crowd. Listen, I want to get to the buffet. Listen, today, if you were dying of cancer, you would want some spiritual capital with God. It wouldn't matter about the movie. Come on, once they come out and say you got 6 months to live, guess what? It don't matter what's playing at the movie anymore. It don't matter, amen, how many fish that you can put in your boat. It doesn't matter how much fun you can have down at the roller rink. It doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is that there's a God that will hear your cry and a God that will help you. You need spiritual capital. Some of you had cancer and would have died without spiritual capital. You wouldn't have made it. The doctor did not heal you. He helped you. Only God can heal. That bleeding polyp that they thought was cancer when they couldn't find it and there's no more blood, that's spiritual capital. That baby girl that they said is going to be deaf in that ear is hearing out of an ear that they say can't hear. That's spiritual capital. It's worth more than a Mercedes. Oh, hallelujah. This old man that's turning 68, that would have been dead before he was 8, if my mom and daddy didn't go to a church that had some spiritual capital. Can you say amen? Glory! Such as I have. How is what he purchased disseminated? How is it granted? Such as I have. See, today what would happen? Because of the perverting of the gospel, the polluting of the message. It's bringing the consternation of the world against the true church. They would have said, what have you got to invest in my ministry so that you can be healed? What can you give me so that God will heal you? No. He said, listen. Oh, hallelujah. Without price. Jesus paid for this. With his stripes you were healed. Amen. And when they asked them why that this miracle had been wrought, they said, you remember the man you hung on the tree, whom God has rose from the dead? Do you remember him? Do you remember him? Through faith in his name, this man has his perfect soundness before you all. Freely you've received, freely give. It was suggested to me, and it would help us, if we put PayPal on our website so people that want to invest can invest. I went to a site that had PayPal to download a sermon to hear the gospel. I had to use PayPal to hear the gospel. I had to purchase the good news of Jesus with money. And I said, as long as I live and breathe, and as long as God wants the gospel to go out, he will provide. Amen. But I will not put a charge. This anointing, he bought. He paid for that to come to me at the cross. Hallelujah. You can't buy it. You can't buy my sermons. Guy said, I preached your sermon the other day. Is that plagiarism? I said, no, it's not copyrighted. I'm honored that you would preach my sermon. Hallelujah. Because it ain't mine. Amen. If it really comes like it's supposed to come, God has given it. Can you say amen? And if God has given it, number one, it ain't for sale. Glory to God. And number two, you couldn't buy it if it was for sale. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost wants to get the word out. And when we want to get the word out and we dedicate ourselves to that, I'm young. And now I'm old, David said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed begging bread. Can you say, man, God will make a way. God will provide. God will see to it. Woo! So you don't have to compromise your faith to serve Jesus. I mean, to serve yourself or to get your needs met. And you don't have to buy blessings. You just have to thank him and love him and serve him for all that he's done for you. Praise God. I want you to have spiritual capital. One day you're going to need it. One day you're going to need it. One day I'm going to draw my last breath. If I'm the richest man in the world, it ain't going to mean nothing. When I draw and you draw your last breath, I want you to have spiritual capital with God. To know that you know that you know. My sins are forgiven. I'm redeemed and ransomed through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't fear the wrath to come. I don't fear the judgment to come. I don't fear the judge because he's my friend. Can you say, man? Somebody give him praise in this room. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we go home today, I'm not just going to have a series of sermons for we need a revival. I'm not just going to fill your head with biblical knowledge because we need a revival. We need a revival. I need that fresh anointing, that fresh oil, that fresh touch from God. In a small church like this, if I didn't have spiritual capital, I wouldn't have any reason to continue pastoral ministry. I would say, well, it's just a little church. These people could be assimilated in so many churches all over this city. What are we doing here? And then I look up at that board right there. And I know in 3 years, over 19,000 people have come to our website. Not all of them downloaded, but the ones that God wanted to talk to did. Can you say amen? The ones that God wanted to speak to did. And I know what they heard when they downloaded. I know what they're hearing. I know what they're hearing. Because none of that is going to help this church become a big, beautiful edifice here in this city. But this is all for an invisible spiritual kingdom. But someday when I get to heaven and you've invested in this ministry and you get to heaven, somebody is going to come down that golden street, grab us around the neck and give us a big old Jesus hug and say, I'm so glad that you were faithful so I could hear the gospel and come to know Christ as my Savior. And friend, at that moment, there will never be another thought to what it cost to preach the gospel or what it cost to follow Jesus down here. Can you say amen? It'll be worth it all. Praise God. And I have spiritual capital, and I want you to have it this coming year. Favor with God. How many want that favor? You believe we need it? How many believe the Church of Jesus, ours and the church at large, needs a Holy Ghost revival? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Sheila makositianda namakuli. Nanda da baroshala maniti. Hallelujah. Stir us, Lord, to where we want to worship you. We want to be in your house. We want to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior in the name of Jesus. Meet the needs as we put you first in our life. We all have needs here materially. You care about that. You're a wonderful Father. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never will you back off. And I've never seen them begging bread. You will make a way. You will make a way. But we don't come to you for that reason. Primarily, we come to you for the cross and the Christ and the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyone in this room that don't know Jesus and you want to know him, you don't want to go on searching, seeking. You want to find what you're looking for. And you want to have spiritual capital with God, that when you need him, he says, here am I. Here am I. Because you're his child and he's your heavenly father. Raise your hand today. You need Christ as your Savior. Anyone in this room. Anyone in this room. Second question. It's not too late, by the way, for you. I want to follow Jesus more closely and more devotedly. I need spiritual capital with God. I do not want to drift away. Raise your hand. Let God see it. Let God see it. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to lose sight of what's truly important in the kingdom of God. Many hands went up in this room. Will you please stand with me as we dismiss today? Thank you, Father. I'm not going to change the message nor the method. Thank you, Jesus. Because I want to see a revival more than see a bigger building. I want to see a revival more than I want to see 500 people to minister to without revival. Without revival, that's all that is. It's heads in a building, not hearts for Christ. That's all that it is. I do not want that. I won't try to change myself or change the ministry to be more compatible, because this is not a seeker-friendly church. When you come in here, you're going to hear about a Jesus that's worth denying yourself and taking up your cross to follow. I know no other Jesus. I will not soft pedal the gospel. I will not promise you riches of this world. But I promise you all the wealth of heaven and God's kingdom if you come to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, without blushing, he's worth it all. He's worth it all. He's worth it all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands just for a moment and praise him. Let's just praise him just for a moment. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is a year and an opportunity to not get so busy, so distracted. This is a year to get more dedicated and close to Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.